TalkZone.com!
TalkZone presents the Geek Speak Radio Show with your hosts, Henry and Romo. Your top spot for everything entertainment and pop culture, including TV, movies, comics, casting news, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Henry and Romo.
Finally, we're here. Welcome to the Geek Speak Radio Show, Friday edition. Everybody's here today. Angel's here. Even Damien is here.
Wow, that's a surprise.
Damien.
How are you?
I think you just said you don't usually do anything around here.
Ooh. Yeah, it's true.
Take that.
He'll remember that next time.
Well, anyway, we had a very good week. But wait, we're not done. We still have more to do. One more.
Guess.
I can tell by your shocked faces that you guys are ready for it. So how about we get started? How about we do something that you like to do?
Animation?
Angel. Yes.
You could draw?
Yes. Yeah, I can, actually.
Oh, that's good.
She can draw. She can watch animation. She can even collect animation. She can do all of that. And if you guys want to do that, we have the perfect person on the phone to talk to about that. Her name is Debbie Weiss. She's the owner of Wonderful World of Animation. It's a gallery in Southern California. Debbie, you there?
I am.
Hi, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
What a fantastic intro. Thank you.
Sure. And did I describe that correctly? Would it be considered a gallery? Is that correct to say?
That's correct. I own an animation art gallery. So what that means is we basically sell original art that was used to make cartoons, some of them older, like Snow White, some of them on the newer side, like The Simpsons.
Is this animation sells, or what are they exactly?
Exactly. The animation art has kind of a loose definition. Most people, when they think of animation art, think of the animation art cells because they're colorful. When you pause a TV show or you pause a DVD, that's what matches because that's what they took a photograph on to put on the screen. But it also can consist of drawings, concept art, storyboards, things that are farther back in the process, which are still highly collectible, but not necessarily on the front of everybody's mind because it looks a bit different than the end product.
How did you get into animation? How did you get interested in it?
I actually used to collect comic books, Archie comic books, when I was little. And then someone bought me an Archie cell when I used to be a stockbroker in Japan. And I got it, and I was like, what is this? This is unbelievable. And my life was never the same, and I left Wall Street to do this.
That's good. And so where exactly is the gallery?
The gallery is in Los Angeles in an up-and-coming area called Culver City.
Okay, and we also have it linked up on geekspeakradioshow.com. The website is on there. And how did you get the idea to start the gallery?
Well, what basically happened when I was trading, I get very intense and I get very into things. And once I realized I wanted to collect, I just started calling everybody I could find. I started finding all the sources I could. And I realized that I really love doing it. And as much as I love trading, I love this more. This was my hobby. This was my passion. And I thought that I could hopefully be a really good gallery owner and someone who could really help collectors find what they want. So when people come to us, we're not the type of gallery that just wants to sell what we make the most on or things like that. We ask questions of people. We want to know their goals and match the right piece to what they're looking for.
Hi, Debbie. This is Damien. I just wanted to say I checked out the website, and it's really great, and I like some of the features that you have on there. And for me, personally, I like the Tom and Jerry stuff. It's really great to see that you have some Tom and Jerry and Jetson stuff as well.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah. And I know where were some of the cartoons for you that you grew up on and, like, that you liked?
When I was little is when, because I'm 42, that's when, like, Scooby-Doo was on in the Saturday mornings. And I remember watching the Flintstones when I was about 4 and things like that. So those are the ones I have kind of like that when I was little attachment to.
Yeah, I can tell you, Debbie, those cartoons stand the test of time because I have a 3-year-old daughter, and she loves watching those. She can watch them for hours and hours. So those cartoons definitely stand the test of time.
I think so. It's very interesting in the world of collecting where you see that some shows and movies certainly are going to be collectible for, as far as I can tell, forever. And how other ones, you know, of a newer nature seem to be quite popular and then they can fall. Once they're not on TV anymore, the interest really goes down quite a bit.
Yeah. Where do you get the sales from, the ones that you sell? Where do you get them from?
Well, we kind of have two different things. On one hand, we are an authorized dealer for the studios. So, for example, if you wanted a Batman cell, we go to the people that they're authorized distributors of the Warner Brothers art. So the public has to go through one of those authorized galleries to get that. On the other hand, if you're looking about vintage art, say vintage Tom and Jerry from the 40s, 50s, or vintage Disney, you know, from 30s, 40s, all that kind of stuff, I'm like an antique dealer. So it's basically people coming to us. So I know that we get art in regularly, but I never know what's going to come in because it just depends on what the people have that are calling you.
Okay, and people can actually go into the gallery and see them for themselves, right?
Absolutely. We have a very strong online presence, and we do have some things in the gallery, and we also have a huge archive. So what tends to happen a lot is people will come in, give us an idea of what they're looking for. Say they're looking for Simpsons, then we show them what we have available in Simpsons. If they're looking for, say, a princess drawing for a gift, we bring out the appropriate boxes and so they can have all the choices.
Everything that's on the website, is that found in the gallery also, or are the two different sections?
Yeah, I mean, everything is pretty much on the website. In the gallery, because we have thousands of pieces on the website, so we couldn't possibly hang all of them in the gallery. So we just tend to have a smaller selection to give you an idea, and then we talk to you to find out what you want so we can bring them out.
Yeah, and again, the website is linked up on geekspeakradioshow.com. You can go on there, and it's not just Disney. It's not just Tom and Jerry, like Damien mentioned. Everything is in there. You guys were looking at it. What do you guys see?
Yeah, I saw some, like I was mentioning before, the Jacksons, Flintstones, obviously a lot of Disney stuff.
A lot of Disney stuff. I already have wish lists.
He said the Jetsons, not the Jacksons, by the way.
Yeah, the Jetsons. It's been a long time since I've seen that cartoon, and so it brought flash.
Astro and all those people.
Yeah, it was very nostalgic when I saw some of the paintings on your website.
What kind of customers do you get, Debbie?
That's actually an interesting question because the customers are different for the different kind of titles. So if you look at something like Simpsons and Family Guy, those tend to be people that are a bit younger, a bit edgier, you know, they kind of have a quirkier sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And we usually find, like, for the vintage Disney, which a lot of times is more expensive, certainly on the whole, you have people that tend to be a little bit on the older side because they have been working for a number of years, and we find that a lot of it has to do with people's attachments to the films or shows. So people that are older tend to have grown up more with the Cinderellas and all that kind of stuff, and then the younger people tend to, you know, have watched The Simpsons for so many years. So the target markets vary depending on the title, and what's also interesting is you find different countries have different things that they tend to like. So we have a tremendous amount of English clients. They love The Simpsons. They love Winnie the Pooh. They love Pinocchio. European clients tend to really, really like the drawings. They really appreciate that art form. So it's very interesting that you see different cultures really emphasizing different art mediums or shows.
What are some of the ones that you get the most sales out of?
That we sell the most?
Yes.
We are strongest. The most active titles for us are vintage Disney. Concept art is very, very popular right now. So things by, say, like Mary Blair or Gustav Tengren, those are very high-end pieces, and they're very hard to find. But when we get them in, they usually sell very quickly. Peanut strips, the original Charles Schulz peanut strips from the newspapers, those sell incredibly, incredibly well. We also do very well in The Simpsons as a newer title. That tends to sell very well. And I think a lot of it is because I like the show. I know the show. So when I'm picking the art, I have a good flair for it. And because, you know, not all cells are created equally. So if you have good art that really evokes the feeling and what an episode's about, that's what the collectors tend to relate to.
Hey, we're talking to Debbie Weiss. She's the owner of Wonderful World of Animation. We're going to take a little break right now. When we come back, we'll get more into the collection, into what you can see in there. And we'll just talk some more with Debbie. So before we do that, you know what happens every time right about now. We need to find out what's going on out there so you are all in the know. We'll do that, and we'll be right back with Debbie Weiss. This is the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report for Friday, September 17th. Here's what's buzzing right now. Mark Miller is set to make his directorial debut with a film called Miracle Park. Here's the film synopsis. Set in contemporary Scotland, this dark, unique superhero story focuses on a group of animal rights activists who break into a low-level research laboratory to find a mile-long underground base owned and facilitated by the U.S. government. The movie is shot entirely on a handheld camera, establishing a tone more consistent with Paranormal Activity or The Last Exorcism than a traditional superhero release. Miracle Park is chilling, violent, and a totally new experience in cinema. Miracle Park starts where other superhero movies draw the line. Kind of sounds like Kick-Ass there. Brian Fuller is set to script a live-action Pinocchio, which he says was inspired by the Alice in Wonderland movie from earlier this year. I think it was the box office take rather than the movie itself that inspired him, but hey, what do I know? Sacha Baron Cohen will play Freddie Mercury in an upcoming biopic that will cover Queen's formative years and culminate with the band's appearance at Live Aid in 1985. It's not known if Sacha will do his own vocals or if Mercury's voice will be used. Casey Affleck admitted to the New York Times in an interview that Joaquin Phoenix was acting during his hip-hop phase and that the documentary I'm Still Here is all an act. He couldn't wait until after the film was released to admit that. That's what's buzzing right now, and that's the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back. Make us a favorite button on your browser.
If you click it, you'll go to that page.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the Internet.
Attention all bases. Attention all bases. This is
the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And we're back on the Geek Speak Radio Show. We're talking to Debbie Wise, who's the owner of the wonderful World of Animation Art Gallery. Before we go on, Debbie, Angel actually has a question for you.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
I love the Wonderful World of Animation webpage. I had flashbacks as well. My favorite is always going to be Mickey Mouse. You were speaking about Scooby-Doo and your childhood. Was there a character that you related to or that's your all-time favorite till this day?
That's interesting. I don't know if there was one that I really related to, but I would have to say, even though I'm kind of a feminist, there's something about Cinderella that just seems to me to be the pinnacle of what Disney's about and the princesses, and that film is just so magical. So for the vintage, I really like Cinderella pieces. And for newer, I like Ariel from The Little Mermaid. She's got a little snap,
she's
a little
really cool.
Zip. So I actually have a favorite from each era.
From each era. Is there a possible character in the future you would like to see from Disney or any kind of animation studio?
A character? You mean like...
If you can make up a character that hasn't been added to Disney or any kind of animation movie or comic or...
That's a great question. So good, I can't think of anything. I really... I don't know. I would have to think about that one.
She has a knack for that, actually, Debbie. She always stumps our guests when they come on, so
all right,
don't feel too
to
bad.
More prepared in future.
That's okay. So Damien, I think, has a question also.
Oh, no, I was going to ask Debbie, what are some of the cartoons that you watch nowadays, some of the newer ones?
The newer ones? I really like Family Guy. I'm friends with one of the fellows that works on there and who's super nice, and I just think that is really, it took a little while, but it really found its voice, and I think it pushes the edge. I mean, you couldn't get away with that in live action, so, and I think the characters, I love Stewie. I think Stewie is great, and he really seems to bring it every time. The Simpsons I like.
Damnation, all of you. I love Stewie.
Exactly, right? Why is he British? I can't seem to figure that out.
He's adopted, maybe. We'll find out.
I don't know. I'm very confused by that. I do watch The Simpsons. I think that it can be a little hot or cold. I prefer The Simpsons when they're The Simpsons. Let Homer be Homer. Let Bart be Bart. I don't like it so much when they're taken out of the world and they're playing with celebrities and things like that. I really want them to be who they are. That's what I like best about them. And another great thing about The Simpsons is they really appeal to adults and kids. And it seems like a lot of the cartoons, you know, like a lot of the Nickelodeon ones tend to be more kid-friendly, or some of them, you know, can be a little edgy, like Family Guy, too adult. And that's what I kind of like about The Simpsons, and I think that's one of the reasons we sell so much Simpsons art, is because you get a piece from The Simpsons, the whole family can relate to it. And that's really kind of fun.
So, Debbie, do you feel like a lot of the cartoons being shown now are kind of missing that whole element of, you know, magic and being able to relate to families and, you know, children? Because a lot of it seems like really in your face, like live action or, you know, just really cheesy dialogue, you know. Do you feel like a lot of the animation, what it used to be, is missing?
I do. I don't watch a lot of the newer things that tend to be out there, but things have definitely changed. I think certainly Disney. I feel like the Disney films, there's something very magical, very timeless, and if you actually look at the quality, you know, of the art and you look at the quality of the films, I mean, they're incredibly well done, particularly if you think about what they had available to them in terms of tools 50 years ago and so on and so forth. In terms of computer, you know, there was no computers back then helping them. And I feel like when I'm looking at a lot of the newer cartoons now, they just feel very flat. The characters feel very, you know, kind of one-dimensional. I just don't feel like there's this attention to, like, the storyline and the character development. It just, I don't know, it just seems more like they're advertising toys or something. It just doesn't have the same magic for me.
Well, speaking of toys, Toy Story 3 just came out from Pixar and Disney. It had that storyline. It still had that feel where you can bring the family and watch. Is that an exception to, you know, cartoons?
I think Pixar does things very, very well. The thing with Pixar, there's no original art to sell from when movies are computerized. So it's not something that I follow as closely because we don't really have the art to sell from those films. But I would say that Pixar does things very, very well. I would agree with that statement.
Speaking of back, getting back to the gallery, do you do appraisals? Let's say somebody's listening right now and they have a collection and they're thinking, maybe I can call Debbie and she can appraise it for it. Do you do that for them?
Absolutely. If someone just wants a value and it's usually for insurance purposes, we can do that and we charge a small fee per piece to do that. If someone's looking to sell art to us and they're seriously interested in selling a piece, we can give them an idea what it's worth. We don't charge for that. Because, you know, we want to take it in and then sell the piece.
Do you go to their collection or you want them to bring to you, or how would you go about doing that?
They're certainly welcome to bring it in if they want to, but we're able to do it by getting JPEGs and looking at the images. And if we have any questions on anything, we can always ask them for clarification if we need to.
Okay, and I'm sure it's on the website, but go ahead and give everybody the contact information.
Certainly, our website is animationartgallery.com, and we have an area on there that's art for sale, and you can get information on either selling or appraisals on that page.
Okay, and you can also go to geekspeakradioshow.com. We do have it linked on there. What's the matter, Damien?
I just wanted to ask, Debbie, do you have any events coming up for the gallery?
We have some events that are not animation related. We also, LA is a really great scene for a lot of this art that's coming up that's kind of the lowbrow art scene. And so what we've been doing is expanding the gallery, and we're having a lot of great shows roughly about every 6 weeks where our guys will come up with an idea, say, like, The Devil Made Me Do It or Off the Strip, and then we invite artists to participate. So you get a whole really cool variety of the artist's interpretation of that theme. And so we have regular events like that, and if anyone wants to be invited to that, they can also email us for us to, you know, send them previews and things online. Certainly, it's the most fun if you can come in person, but it doesn't mean you're excluded if you don't live in the LA area. And they're certainly welcome to contact us if they would like to be involved in that.
And let's say somebody's listening right now also, and they want to start a collection. Would you suggest, and they don't have anything in particular, they're not a Batman person, a Tom and Jerry person, they just want to start collecting animation sales. Would you suggest anything to them?
Yes, I would. I think the first thing to do, which I think is very important, and I used to, the magazine's not active anymore, but I used to write actively for a magazine in England called Collectibles, and I'm a big proponent of educate yourself. So find out what a limited edition is, a serious sell, lithographs, original art, concept art. Get an idea of what all the different pieces are, because it can be very confusing. If you walk in a gallery, you might have a different perception thinking you're buying original piece when it's a limited edition because you haven't educated yourself. And different galleries educate people to different degrees. So I think it's a very important thing. And I think that with any collectible, you know, educate yourself, know a little bit about what you're looking for, call up a gallery or a few galleries, get a sense of who you feel comfortable with, and try and get an idea of your goal. It doesn't mean you have to say, oh, I only want Batman, but have an idea, say, of your price range. Do you tend to like more colorful things? Do you tend to like the drawings? Give the gallery something to help point you in the right direction. And, for example, we have people who just want to collect things from Snow White. We have people that just want concept art. There's some people who just go, hey, I'll know it when I like it, when I see it. And there's other things that can happen where people will collect themes. I think one of the more unusual ones is we have a guy that only likes people hitting each other, say like a club or something. So sometimes people have very specific themes, or sometimes people will collect, say, the princesses. So the thing is to just, you know, start, educate yourself, read about it, get a good feel for what the prices are, and find a place that you have a good feeling about and start a relationship with them and, you know, let them help you. That's their job.
Okay, David, before I let you go, let me ask you, do you yourself, do you own any original works?
Absolutely. That's how I started. I started collecting. So I tend to like things that are very, very cute, like Dumbo and Bambi, and then I tend to like some of the evil villains. So I have some great Maleficent and witches and queens from Snow White, things like that. So I did, again, tend to go very cute and very bitchy. I'm not sure what that says about me, but that's what I tend to really like.
So we're talking to Debbie Wise. Debbie, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk to you again. So that's Debbie Wise. She's the owner of A Wonderful World of Animation. It is an actual gallery, an actual store, but there is a web presence, and it's linked up on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. You guys can go on there. And Angel, I know you were making
I know. I'm
going to
have a wish
already.
List.
Romo? I think she was talking about you. That
hitting.
Yeah, she was.
You were the guy that was just hitting, looking for hitting pieces.
She was actually just hitting you.
Yeah.
Just more action scenes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But actually, seriously, I think I'm going to start doing getting some of the Scooby-Doo ones. I mean,
we got it. Those are classic.
Not for me, for my daughter, because I said she loves that, and she has a birthday coming up.
So that would be a great
so
reason
somebody
to get
else,
her
actually.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
funny thing is, Angel and my daughter, they actually share the same birthday.
Cool. You guys could go to Chuck E. Cheese together.
I'm going to Disneyland.
Well, that's even better, Disneyland.
Yeah, you go to Chuck E. Cheese, she'll go to Disneyland. Okay, so again, that was Debbie Wise. She's the owner of Wonderful World of Animation. When Angel, you asked when you first heard the name, does it have any ties to Disney? No, it doesn't. It just happens. It just sounds very
magical.
Disney.
Yeah, it does.
Because it did have a show on ABC once. Disney did called The Wonderful World of Color, I think it was.
Disney.
So, yeah. Well, it was color too, a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Back then, color was something
new.
Yeah, because it was all TV sets. Were black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys are looking at me like, what? What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm like,
they weren't flat screen. They weren't LCDs. What are you talking about? Yeah, but there was a TV show called The Wonderful World of Color. Then it became The Wonderful World of Disney. And so, this is not, like Debbie said, it's not just Disney art. It's everything. You guys can go on the website. It has Scooby-Doo on there. It has Tom and Jerry. It has Batman. And not the old Batman. It's the newer ones. What is it called? The Batman, the Animated Series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It also has, what did you guys see on there? There were some other things on there.
A lot of Simpsons.
Simpsons Family Guy is on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Jetsons.
Yeah.
Again, as I mentioned earlier, Jetsons. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of Disney stuff, though.
You like the Jetsons, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Jetsons are cool.
Jetsons
Astro
and the Flintstones.
And what's in it? Jane and Joan and what's the dad's name?
George.
George.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can you forget
and
George?
Rosie the robot.
Mr. Spacely?
Yeah.
Rosie the Robot. That's funny.
Yeah. So there you go. Again, it's The Wonderful World of Animation. It's an actual gallery. And if you're in the Southern California area, you can go there. Or you can go on the website. It's linked up on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. So let me take another break. When we come back, it'll just be us. Programming note, let me let you guys know we have some business to take care of afterwards. So in the next hour, you're going to hear a replay of Jeff Loeb and Brent Anderson from yesterday. So, we are going to be here. We are going to talk amongst ourselves about a few things. But before we do that, one more. What is it called, Romo?
Buzz Report.
Yeah, let's do that.
This is the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report for Friday, September 17th. Here's what's buzzing right now. Warner Brothers Home Video is going to release an animated adaptation of Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman in the spring. The story begins with the Man of Steel oversaturated by radiation during a rescue mission near the sun, accelerating the degeneration of his cells. Knowing that he has a limited time before he dies, Superman sets out on a journey that sees him revealing his secret to Lois Lane, giving Lex Luthor an epiphany on humanity, and ensuring the safety of Earth for when he is gone. James Denton voices Superman, Christina Hendricks is Lois Lane, Ed Asner is Perry White, and Anthony LaPaglia voices Lex Luthor. Dwayne McDuffie will write the script. Fox has officially picked up J.J. Abrams' new series Alcatraz, a drama tied to the prison island off of the California coast, from a trio of lost vets, producers J.J., Brian Burke, and writer-producer Elizabeth Sarnoff. It's described as a show about mysteries, secrets, and the most infamous prison of all time, Alcatraz. And that's pretty much all we know right now.
Stephen Lang will star opposite Jason O'Mara in the Steven Spielberg-produced Terra Nova, a new sci-fi show coming to Fox. The series is about a group of humans from 2149 who go back in time 85 million years and start civilization anew. Lang will play the charismatic and ruthless leader of the Terra Nova settlement. A charismatic and ruthless leader? I'm sure the hundreds of millions of people who saw Avatar will attest that he can pull that off. That's what's buzzing right now, and that's the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back. Non-stop talk radio, streaming 24 hours a day.
Whoa, what am I hearing?
This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Let's get back to the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And we are back on the Geek Speak Radio Show. It is Friday, right?
It is Friday.
Yes, it is Friday.
For some reason, it feels like Wednesday to me.
Wednesday.
Yes. I'm weird like that. But then again, that's why I'm a geek. Speaking of weird, Romo.
I'm not weird.
Yes, you are. Speaking of weird, yesterday when you went home, you called me all excited and said, he almost crashed my car because I saw, I don't know why you were calling me either, because, you know, in California, it's against the law.
Yeah, it's a...
It's okay. It was for a good reason. It was
using your...
Bluetooth.
It was on speakerphone, but again, it was for a good reason. And that reason was...
So he thought.
I thought it was on last night, but I saw in big lights saying today,
the Fringe
2-hour premiere Fringe. And I literally thought it was because it was on Thursday. So I was like, oh man, is it today? So called him up because, you know, I got to call up Henry. He knows everything. Ended up being a week early.
Yeah, it's actually next Thursday. And every TV show is premiering next week. Not next Thursday, but next week along the week. Everybody's all your favorite shows are back, including some of the new shows that we're all looking forward to. We'll talk about those in just a second. But you actually interrupted me when you called.
Why?
Because I was watching that Fringe premiere.
Oh, you were?
Yes, I was.
He knows everything.
It's Henry. So that's why he was trying to kick me out of his house.
Yeah, you noticed. No, actually, I got a sneak preview. DVD. Fox sent it to me. Not going to talk too much about it because I promised them I wouldn't, but let me give you a spoiler-free little review of what I saw. I saw that you're going to get the first – it's a two-hour thing. I think you saw that on the billboard. It's a two-hour thing, premiere next Thursday. And basically, I mean, I'm not spoiling anything here because we already know what happened last season. Olivia's stuck on the other side, and the alternate Olivia B is stuck with us, but they don't know it yet. First thing I noticed when it's the first 2 hours is this thing goes fast. It doesn't slow down at all. There's no, drawn out questions and calling them Pacey. What's Peter Bishop going to do? I mean, cause he knows that he's from the other side now. Yeah. He also knows that he is the catalyst for a big doomsday weapon that they're making, that Walternet is making on the other side.
Yeah.
It starts, it's not a repeat. A few people asked me who are big Fringe fans. They asked me, is it a repeat of the Charlie episode? Meaning when Charlie was taken over by the doppelganger.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew it was Charlie until the last second. It's not like that at all. It sets a lot of things in motion. I can see not too long ago, we were talking about, it was a spoiler filled, day. And one of those spoilers was, I think I said every odd episode is going to be based on the other side, or even I forget which one. I can see, I'm not going to get away. There's an event that happens, actually two events that happen within the first 2 hours that can set that up easily.
Oh, really?
And it's not going to be confusing like the flash forwards or the flashbacks in Lost.
Well, we know that it's going to be taking place. I mean, from what I've heard, the intros are going to be color coded to let you know that.
Yeah, they did that in the last three.
Yeah, you're either going to be in Earth 1 or in Earth 2. So did you get that in the beginning of the intro? Was it in Earth 1 or Earth 2? Was there a color change?
I didn't even notice, but I think it was...
red or green, or red and bluish green.
Sounds like Christmas. No, I think it was red, actually.
Huh, so that means it'll be in Earth 2.
Yeah, well, I got to watch it again because I think one was red, one was the regular.
All right.
Don't remember. Like I said, I got to watch it again. Maybe I'll play it for you guys after the show.
Cool.
But we got to take care of business first. Business first, then pleasure. So that was that. Again, I'm not going to give away too much. Thank you, Fox, for providing me those DVDs. And all I will say is you will love it on Thursday when it comes back. Now, that leads to, like I was saying a minute ago, all next week, starting Monday, all the new shows and our favorite shows are coming back and premiering.
It's going to be really hard because now I'm getting addicted to this one show. I don't know if you guys seen it yet. It's The Big Bang Theory.
No.
And then right after, it's that David Shatner. William Shatner show right
David
after.
Shatner.
I don't know.
Shatner, who's that?
Probably who is David.
But I have shows to start watching next week. And then Modern Family's coming back.
I was going to ask you guys, what new shows are you looking forward to?
The Cape and The Event, which is both very similar TV shows. They both have to deal with superheroes.
The Event and Undercovers. But I have like other shows to watch. So it's going to be hard.
See, me, I mentioned a few weeks ago, I've seen The Event. I got to see it on the big, huge screen, actually on an IMAX screen. I just want to see where they're going to take it. Hopefully it doesn't become a flash forward.
Yeah.
You would understand this one, Romo. Hopefully it doesn't become a Happy Town either.
Too many questions.
Yeah, it just goes nowhere. I'm looking forward to that, see where they take the story. The other one I'm looking forward to is, Undercovers, of course. And, I'm getting a few things. I didn't get a DVD for this one. They promised they would. It's probably in the mail right now.
For V?
No, the one from Michael Chiklis, No Ordinary Family. That's the family with superhero powers.
I forgot about that.
That one, just because, you know, I'm a big comic fan and I like anything with superpowers, I want to see what they do with that. So those are the shows that I'm really looking forward to. Speaking of William Shatner, Bleep My Dad Says, really looking forward to that one. what do you call it? That, however, also is the conundrum for me next Thursday, because Thursday is a big day for me because Undercovers premieres, and in the middle of Undercovers, in the bottom of the half hour, 8:30, Bleep My Dad Says premieres, and then at 9 o'clock is Fringe. See, Undercovers I can watch, but here's the choice I have to make.
Fringe or?
Do I leave in the middle and watch Shatner live, or do I record it, or do I record Undercovers and watch it later?
Just record them all.
Yeah, I can do that, but you know, that's the thing about geeks is we need to see it. We need to know before everybody else.
That's true, because you get a different feeling when you watch something live compared to something that you know it's already recorded, because I would say maybe the shock value is kind of gone.
Yeah, and producer Dave says, Bleep My Dad Says it's supposedly beyond awful. I've seen all those reviews too, but it's Shat. You can't go wrong with the Shat.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. And yeah, like I said, I've seen those reviews everywhere.
I just want to see William Bell Spock come back onto Fringe, because I think it'd be kind of awesome to see who was going to knock him out. It'd be like a rivalry, Spock versus.
Funny you mentioned that.
Captain Kirk. What?
I can't say anything, but there is an answer to that right away. When the Fringe finale, when the Fringe premiere begins.
All right, good.
There is an answer to that. Although, I'm going to say this without spoiling anything.
Just don't say anything.
Maybe you're right. I just won't say anything. So now you have another reason to watch on Thursday.
I didn't know it was so easy.
Yeah.
I think I have mind control over him.
And then I get a chance to watch Modern Family this time.
Yeah.
But I have to catch up. But it looks really, really good. So a lot of TV.
You can watch it anywhere, really, because there's no real story that it follows. You can jump in anywhere. It's just a comedy.
Yeah, but comedy. I want to start from the beginning.
What? There's no story that it follows, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, but I'm saying, like, I still want to see
Big
season
Bang
one
Theory,
and then go there.
It's
a storyline.
It's episodic, but it does kind of have an underlying storyline there.
It's a really funny show.
Modern Family is literally a sitcom. It is. it's different situations there. All the family members are in different situations. You can just jump in anywhere in the season.
I want to know everyone's situation, starting from season one.
You got to watch
you're a type of girl that wants to know everything then, huh?
Yeah, I like comedy. That's one of my things.
That's funny.
No wonder she likes you so much.
That's awkward.
No, it's not.
I'm joking.
The other thing, we talked about it a couple days ago. TV shows are next week, like I said, but we talked about this sort of a couple of days ago. M. Night Shyamalan. I'm not going to ask you to say it
because it won't go nowhere.
It'll really turn into awkward comedy. M. Night Shyamalan. The movie is out right now. It's called Devil. And yes, the studio can try to hide it, but we know that his name is attached to it. But let me ask you guys, when we're done with our little meeting later today, it's usually movie day for us on Friday. What do you guys want to go see? Because there's another big movie that opens today, The Town.
What's the town about?
You're the only one in the world that doesn't know about that.
Oh, is that the one with Ben Affleck and John Hamm?
Directed by Ben Affleck and starring Ben Affleck. Now, I haven't seen this, but one thing I need to say about this thing is just a month ago.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck was still one of the most hated actors in Hollywood. I don't know why. If it was Pearl Harbor, that was a long time ago. Get over it. But all of a sudden, the trailer for this thing came out, and just for a few scenes, everybody loves it. It's the best film, and it's Oscar nominated, and we got to go see it. And where'd that come from?
So he has a fan base now.
Yes.
So it pretty much is this movie, The Town, revitalized his career. I mean, I've never seen it. I've not seen a trailer at all.
You did, actually. You just weren't paying attention. I think it played right before The Last Exorcism.
It did.
I think that's the point where you had his eyes closed because he was getting ready for it.
And you had your rosary over you?
No, I don't remember anything.
It was right before that Ryan Reynolds...
I don't remember how I got there.
Right before Buried.
Yeah.
Well, the Buried teaser was in there, and then The Town. Matter of fact, we went to see... You must have gotten it with when you went to see Machete.
No.
You had to have. By contract, it had to be there.
It had to be there.
Again, here, I'll describe the trailer for you. It's a heist movie. They were all wearing...
nun masks?
Now I remember it.
There you go. See?
He just had to say a heist movie. He was like, all right.
You got to draw a picture for
it. It's been done before, yeah.
Why does he like comic books again?
Scribble.
No, I've seen the preview.
No, but that move, the movie's out now. It's playing now as we speak. But that trailer made Ben Affleck into a Betty White again. His career has been reborn all of a sudden. All of a sudden, everybody loves him again. And they forgot about Daredevil. They forgot about Pearl Harbor. Now
it's just a movie that people wanted to see. It's not so much about Ben Affleck. It's just the type of movie and storyline that it is. I do remember the heist, and you know, this is involved with this girl, and they're, you know, this is big fiasco of we're trying to find the robbers, and I think he's a police officer and who's entangled to be one of the robbers. The storyline, the whole movie's in that trailer.
That's what I was gonna say. You know why I don't like this thing? It's because I hate trailers that give the whole thing away.
Yeah.
Like, so why would I want to go see the movie then?
Right, and then
the trailer's like a minute or 30 seconds sometimes.
And you know there's a rift between two of the main robbers, and it happens to be Ben Affleck and some other dude.
Jeremy Renner.
And they're fighting, and then you know he's going to save the girl. So at the end of the day, someone's going to be the hero.
Yeah, that other guy plays his brother, Jeremy Renner, who you know is Hawkeye in the Avengers coming up. And by the way, he said a couple days ago that... You remember what Hawkeye looks like, the purple costume?
Yeah.
And he said he's not going to wear that in the Avengers movie. He doesn't say what it looks like, but it's not going to be the old purple underwear. Yeah, it did kind of look like
Underwear. Well, he looked like Peter Pan. I mean, not Peter Pan, but Robin Hood.
Yeah. Actually, no. What was the one from DC?
That was Green Arrow.
Green Arrow. Yeah, he looks like
that's right. Peter.
Robin Hood. No, but Hawkeye, he does look a little different. He looks a little goofy, really, the original Hawkeye. So I'm kind of glad that Joss Whedon is moving away from that costume.
I do remember because he had for his mask, he had what did he have?
Kind of looked like Wolverine.
Yeah.
He had those two pointy things at the top.
Yeah.
And then he had the H on the side.
Yeah.
Kind of like people used to have the little horse on their shirts.
Like a Leatherman jacket or something that would say C for captain. But he would be H. I mean, that's kind of good to get away from that costume because I didn't like that one.
And he also hinted in this interview that there's kind of a relationship between him and the Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow.
Hmm.
So, I don't know.
Does that come from the comic book? Do they ever interact with each other?
No. Well, kind of.
Probably offset.
Really. No.
I'm just joking. She's
wife. Happens. I have something to say about that.
Right.
And her husband. Although, there you go. You just created something. Green Lantern versus Hawkeye.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yes, we are geeks. And this is the Geek Speak Radio Show. Let's take a break. Not a buzz report, but let's find out what's going on in the world of computers, video games, and technology. When we come back, we'll finish up the show. And again, like I said, we're gonna replay Jeff Loeb's interview from yesterday and Brent Anderson. So let's listen to the tech report when we come back. We'll find something else geeky to talk about. We usually do anyway, don't we?
This is the Geek Speak Radio Show Tech Report for Friday, September 17th. Halo reached top $200 million in sales in its first day of release. It now holds the record for having the biggest single-day sale in Halo's history and also became Microsoft's most successful game launch ever. Samsung's Android-powered Galaxy Tab will soon be available on the number one mobile phone provider in the U.S. That's right, the 7-inch tablet with a 1 GHz Hummingbird processor will be sold by AT&T in time for the holiday season. The Galaxy Tab will launch with Android 2.2, Flash Player 10.1, and Samsung Social Hub. No word on pricing, data plans, or an exact launch date. In an update issued this morning, all four major U.S. carriers will carry the Samsung Galaxy Tab. Verizon Wireless will not be carrying Windows Phone 7 devices at launch or anytime in 2010. Verizon says they'll probably release a phone in 2011. Microsoft has stated that their new mobile OS will only launch on GSM carriers in 2010. Greg Sullivan, senior product manager at Microsoft, spoke to CNET and said the company is focused on the wireless standard that's most readily available in the U.S. and in Europe, which happens to be GSM. Microsoft's GSM launch partners in the U.S. are expected to be AT&T and T-Mobile. Verizon Wireless and Sprint are expected to receive CDMA versions of the new OS sometime in the first half of 2011. Superphone shipments are expected to hit 100 million units by 2015. Superphones are defined as high-end smartphones with a supersized display above 4 inches and a superfast processor greater than 1 gigahertz. And finally, don't forget that today is release day for the PlayStation Move. If you've gotten one and tried it, call us or email us and let us know if the hype was well-deserved. That's the Geek Speak Radio Show Tech Report.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back.
Hello there.
You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. And now, back to the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Henry and Romo.
Hi, here we are. Welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show. Here's Henry, here's Romo, here's Angel also. Yeah. Hi, Angel.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
So, before we move on, let me get a quick answer to this question. We did it before. We kind of cursed Scott Pilgrim, but let's try it again. I'll just ask you guys, devil or the town?
I'm going to tell you the devil.
The town.
Devil.
The town. Devil. Yeah, I didn't care really that what's his name, M. Night Shyamalan was involved in this, that is part of his Nightcrawler, because that didn't turn me off or turn me on or anything. When I saw the trailer, when I read the premise for this thing, I like it.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of movies that I like, where you're constantly guessing, and the only thing I don't hope for is some kind of a twist ending at the end. just give me an ending, a good one, and that's all I need. So, I think we have a hit in our hands.
What's the hit?
Not the show. Well, that too. But I mean, yesterday when after we talked to Al Gordon and Brent and Jeff Loeb, which by the way you'll hear again in the next hour, a replay of Jeff Loeb and Brent Anderson. But when we talked to them yesterday, I got an idea after the show.
What was it?
Well, not after the show, but after their interview. And that was what, you weren't listening?
I was listening, but tell us more.
She was listening, but she wasn't paying attention.
Yeah,
the difference.
Two different things. Yeah.
No, but I was saying that. Remember when we went to the comic book store last month and we met all the local comics and publishers and artists, and I want to do it here in our studio and have them all. But yeah, Damon and I actually talked to Al Gordon about it, and he's interested in having, like I mentioned, the evening with Al Gordon. He thought, actually, why don't we bring Brent, since he's local and they do know each other, and some other friends of his, and have those people, the ones that are trying to break into and get their stuff published, meet them, the ones who have done it.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, like I said, we'll provide the food and everything. And they all agree that, yeah, we can go ahead and record it and play it back on the show. Because I really want everybody, all of you guys out there listening, I really want you guys to hear what these people have to say. I want you to hear, like, you heard it in Al, you heard it in Brent, you heard it in Jeff, absolutely. All the passion that they have for the stuff that they do, their creations, their scripts. There, you talked to a girl, actually. You thought it was pretty interesting.
She had a good story, but...
And it came from a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, how many of us have dreams, and then we get up, have the brains to get up and put it on a piece of paper and say, hey, let me turn it into a movie, a comic book, TV show, book, usually, whatever.
How and when do you get started?
See, that's the question. That's all we want to have.
Here's a suggestion. Notebooks, put them right by your bed. And when you wake up, write it down.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay, fine, you guys are younger. On your iPhones or whatever, go ahead and
just talk into the computer.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that is easier. So
right, and just record yourself. Or, I mean, when do you think of actually doing this? I mean, this looks like we have to
plan for it.
Well,
that's the thing we got to get everybody together. Obviously, we have to get Al and Brent and everybody else together. Maybe we'll get Andrew Farrago from the Cartoon Art Museum to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can do it there, matter of fact. He likes throwing shindigs at the Cartoon Art Museum.
That's pretty
the
cool.
ones we went to. And it's really cool. Yeah, we actually meet a lot of really cool people there who are in the business. So maybe we'll get Andrew to let us do it there. So again, if you guys, obviously you have to be here in the San Francisco Bay Area and be able to come here or the Cartoon Art Museum where we end up doing it, send us an email, comments@geekspeakradioshow.com, comments@geekspeakradioshow.com. If you do want to talk to us, you can do that also. Our main business line is 1-888-560-4230. All our extensions on there. You can just leave it on there. And we'll include you in this, actually. We'll, like I said, we'll feed you. We'll,
entertain and talk.
Yeah. Angel will do a song and dance. Romo will be Romo. That's entertaining enough.
Somehow.
Yeah. What?
He'll be rocking out.
Oh, okay.
I guess that means I'll be throwing rocks somewhere.
Cause... No. I just said he'd be walking out.
No, rocking out. He's always playing the guitar with the music beds.
Yeah.
I know. It's called air guitar.
Yeah, that's awesome.
See, as long as it's just that, it's fine. Because if you actually try
a real guitar, it would not sound that good.
Then the other people will be walking out. So, yeah, if you guys want to be a part of that, you can do that. comments@geekspeakradioshow.com. Let us know who you are, obviously, what you do, what you want to talk about, and when you would be able to do it so we can start planning that and get everybody together. Now, for us, again, we got to take care of a little business. Usually don't do this on Fridays. Fridays are usually our fun days, but
yep, it is.
Business is business, so we got to take care of that. And you will hear a replay of yesterday's interview with Jeff Loeb and Brent Anderson. We had a good week, I would say.
We had an awesome week.
Very entertaining week.
Yeah, we took kind of a field trip all over the country without even leaving our homes. How cool is that? How easy is that, actually?
I know.
Teleporting. The pack.
So we started again with Star Wars, where we left off a couple weeks ago before our break. And yes, I saw your emails, too much Star Wars. Well, you know what? Next Monday, I'm doing more Star Wars. We're gonna talk a little bit more Star Wars, but everybody relax. Cause like I said, the emails mostly came from Trekkies, real Trekkies. And so just for you, we weren't on the air when Star Trek celebrated their birthday, September 8th. We weren't on the air. We were on our little vacation, but we'll do it late, better late than never. So we'll do it next Thursday. And we had a semi-big show for Star Wars. How about we have a semi-big show for Star Trek?
It's big. It's huge. It's
yesterday. what did you watch with me, Ed?
We watched
before I kicked you out.
Star Wars 2. I mean, Star Trek.
Oh,
there
my God.
You go.
Star Trek.
I said Star Trek, but I actually said Star Wars. See, Star Trek. And we saw Return of the Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. You can tell he's not a big Trekkie. Don't be what?
No, The Wrath of Khan. It was good. I really liked it.
You saw who it was directed by?
Yeah.
So would the name Nicholas Meyer mean anything to you?
What big? He directed what? 2, 4, and 6?
And he wrote actually 4.
4?
Leonard Nimoy directed 4. But Nicholas Meyer wrote it. Leonard directed, and he also directed what came to be the final voyage of the original crew, The Undiscovered Country 6. Well, he'll be on Thursday. We'll start it off with
so
him.
I'm so excited.
Every Trekkie just heard that and they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was me in my head because I'm starting to be addicted to Star
then,
Trek.
This will probably mean nothing to you guys, but every real Star Trek fan, the name DC Fontana. Does that mean anything to you? Yeah, of course it does. Look at those smiles on your faces. She won't be on, but she did write it. She wrote the foreword to a book that's out right now in the stores. It's a big book. Romo, it loves reading through it. So does Angel. It's called Star Trek, the Original Series 365. It's actually by Paula Block. Paula will be on with us in the second hour and she'll talk about that. Then, the last hour on Thursday, somebody who's been here before. We can't get Gene Roddenberry, obviously. So, next best thing, his son, Rod. He'll be back on for the whole hour. And this time, we'll talk all Star Trek.
Yay.
So, there you go. If that's not enough for you.
I'm a Trekkie.
Yeah, if that's not enough for you, to make up for all the Star Wars we do, fine. Then I'll get William Shatner also.
That would be awesome.
No, what will be awesome is if I get Leonard Nimoy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
See, that's one character I like out of Star Trek, the Spock.
Yeah, Spock's cool.
That's logical for you to say.
Right.
So, again, good week, and let's thank everybody. Alvin Johnson, who was the founder of the 501st Legion. Carl Erickson, also from the Museum of Comic and Cartoon Art. The action figure. Sculptor, I guess we call him.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Harding, it was fun talking to him too, finding out how they're done, the toys that Romo plays with.
cool.
And Kevin Stark, shows them off, displays them. He's a curator of the Toy and Action Figure Museum. Alan Stewart came on also. He's also the curator of the Hall of Heroes. Very cool place. Yours.
Claude Herrera.
Yeah, he was on from, what's the website again?
It was
HBO.
HBO, Halo Bungie Organization.
.org.
Org.
And, of course, Jeff Loeb yesterday and Brent Anderson, who you're going to hear in a few minutes also again. And Al Gordon was really, really, really fun interview, and you'll probably be hearing from him pretty soon also on the show. And Debbie today, Debbie Wise from the Wonderful World of Animation. Thanks a lot. Like I said, not just Star Trek, Debbie. We've got a lot of big guests tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow, next week.
Told
you
excited.
Guys, I think it's Wednesday. No, it feels like Wednesday to me for some reason. Maybe I know why. It's because we got to take care of business. And usually, like I said, Fridays are our fun days.
Yeah, that's it.
That's why. That's why I think it's Wednesdays. All this is happening next week. And, of course, we'll have some more surprises for you. So, and if you do have any suggestions, go ahead and send them in. Comments at geekspeakradioshow.com. So, again, one more time. I don't think I got it from you guys. What did you say? Devil?
The town.
I want to see Devil. Probably end up seeing both. TV shows, you're waiting for what?
Fringe.
Yeah, of course.
Returning shows, The Big Bang Theory, The William Shatner, The Undercovers, and The Event.
God bleep my dad says, not William Shatner.
Yeah, but I just think William Shatner.
Captain James Tiberius Kirk. He's always going to be known for that, and he knows it too.
Yeah.
He never wrote a book. I am not Kirk.
That's funny that when we talked about that book and the movie, and I mean, he ended up, that's who he is.
Yeah, we'll ask Nicolas Cage, Nicolas Meyer, next Thursday when he comes in. We'll ask him how was it knowing that he was going to kill Spock, knowing that he's the guy that's going to be known forever as the guy who killed Spock. We'll ask him how that was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what were you thinking of yesterday? He asked me while we were watching Star Trek 2. Didn't Spock come back as a mutant or something? What?
No, I was thinking that he died, but he comes back like
as something else,
like evil or something. I don't know. I must have watched.
You read too many comic books, young man.
That's not logical.
Come back as Dark Spock. There's no Dark Phoenix saga in Star Trek.
Yeah.
So again, that's all coming up next week. Again, thanks to everybody who came on this week, and everybody go see, wherever you want to see. Wait for the shows. We may have some of the people from the shows coming on and promoting them next week. We'll have a lot of surprises for you. So till then, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Bye.